Your Excellencies, Madam Ruth Dreyfus, my brothers, Francis and Pascal, ladies and gentlemen and colleagues and members of the media, good afternoon. This is a big report, more than 250 pages, but a big report with a noble ambition, and that is to help countries promote access to medical technologies and stimulate the development of new products, especially for diseases of the poor. Every country in the world is worried about the rising healthcare costs. No one in the world wants to see people die off or suffer because of lack of access to essential medicines. In the past, trade rules and the intellectual property regime have been viewed by many people as barriers to the pursuit of public health goals, especially those that seek fairness in access to the benefits of innovation. Certain practices can make prices artificially high and delay the market entry of more affordable generic products. Incentives for product innovation are weak, sometimes non-existent, for markets that cannot pay. The report being launched today addresses all of these issues and shows how many problems that we have been talking about and working with can be overcome. The report is the outcome of a unique collaboration among the three agencies, as alluded to earlier by Pascal. And I'm sure Francis will also reinforce this point, how important it is for WIPO, WTO, and WHO to work together to serve you. As documented in the nearly 250 pages of facts, explanations, and practical examples, the policy spheres in public health, intellectual property, and trade actually share much common ground and many social values. All of these policy spheres should operate in the public interest. As we all know, medical products differ in significant ways from other consumer goods. For this reason, the international systems that govern intellectual property rights and trade have health-specific provisions. These systems have numerous checks, balances, exemptions, exceptions, and flexibilities that make it possible to interpret and apply laws and rules in the interest of public health. Access to medicines is influenced by market forces, but also by a long chain of policy decisions on issues ranging from the granting of licenses, the use of regulation, to taxes, tariffs, markups, and numerous measures for price control. This, I believe, is the biggest achievement of the report. It demystifies, let me emphasize, it demystifies an intricate and extremely complex landscape of laws and policies and makes them accessible to the non-specialists, and I would classify as one. I know the health dimension slightly better, but learning the trade dimension and the intellectual property dimension is also something important for us to get the policy coherence. Now, in so doing, meaning making all the facts and all the country-specific examples, how things are working, and share them with you, in so doing, it sets out a comprehensive and coherent inventory of legal instruments and policy options that you, as a sovereign state, can draw on to craft measures that meet national public health objectives. It illustrates how policy options and flexibilities actually operate through abundant practical examples from countries in different parts of the world and at different levels of economic development. And it demonstrates some impressive results. Trade stimulates competition. Competition gets price down, increases the volume of supplies, and improves their predictability. As documented in the report, some countries pay nearly twice as much as necessary when purchasing pharmaceuticals. Good government procurement policies, as set out in the WTO's government procurement agreement, could reduce much of this waste. Let me be clear. Not all problems have been solved, and of course, not all issues have been resolved. One of the biggest problems comes from practices that delay the market entry of generic products. When generic products' entry into market is delayed, it hurts public health. The report also describes new models for innovation and new incentives, such as the PICE funds and grants, and that can stimulate R&D for diseases that disproportionately affect the poor. Such models deserve close attention. If prices for some products, like cancer treatments, are too high, governments will opt for more severe ways to control prices or issue compulsory licenses. This is happening right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, it deserves our attention. This report, a lot of work has been put into it by many people, and many of you in the audience provided that kind of input, and I want to thank you. I have one final comment. I mentioned flexibilities. An important flexibility in the TRIPS agreement gives least developed countries a transition time, extended until 1st July 2013, before obliging them to implement provisions in the agreement. I respect the sovereignty and the multilateral systems in WTO and in WIPO. But from a public health perspective, an extension of this transition period is worth consideration. Thank you.